Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94 between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park. We also have an office in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building right across the street from Winkies, and we service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida as well. Feel free to visit our webpage at ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is Susan Hansen, and she is a collaborative lawyer and mediator with Hansen and Hildebrand, also the co-founder of the Family Mediation Center. And we have known each other for quite a while and have had an opportunity to work together with clients as they navigate the divorce process. So that is our conversation today. We would like to share with you a lot of information around preparing for a divorce, how to select an attorney, what types of divorce are out there, and we have some trends to share with you as well. So thank you for tuning in, and Susan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to have this chance to speak to people and hopefully provide some value in education.
Excellent. Good. Well, let's jump right in, and maybe you can help us understand, once you determine whether a divorce is going to happen or not, or once you determine it is inevitable and you want to move forward in the process, what are the first steps? How do you prepare or plan for a divorce?
I think that there are important things you can do, and it's not just do you hire a lawyer and how quickly do you move into a court process. I actually support a step before that final decision, which would be to consider marriage counseling or some type of couples counseling to really encourage communication and a better sense of how this is going to impact your family and your finances. And I think a skilled therapist can really help couples discern, is the divorce inevitable, and must they proceed, or are there things they could do to actually rebuild their relationship? So almost before the decision to divorce is, how do you make that decision? And professional help can be invaluable both to the individual, the couple, and the family as a whole. But once there is that decision, sometimes made by one spouse, sometimes jointly, I think that it's important to really take a pause and reflect on what this is going to look like and to educate yourself about your options. I think too often someone makes the decision and there is an almost impulsive step or step out of a bit of anxiety and needing to move forward, where a lawyer is the first step. And in fact, education is essential. And I think taking your time, understanding your options on how to proceed, understanding what different professionals can do. It's not just a legal process. It's going to restructure your family and your finances. And really giving yourself a bit of a time out and a pause to learn and to weigh your alternatives, to build a team that will be supportive and help you and your family through the process, but to not move too quickly on starting a court action that feels like it's now taking it out of your control.
Yeah, I hear that often as well as we're working with clients. It's I'll get a call that says, we're going to get a divorce. I need an attorney name. Or I need to split up our assets. What does that look like? And I think that advice is good, is to take a pause, step back, and focus on creating whatever that goal is. I often encourage clients to recognize that the goal is to get through this process with the least amount of conflict for you and your spouse and potentially your entire family. And so thinking about what that looks like and taking time to put the right people in place and to talk to people to learn how to navigate that process is really important. So what does that look like? You always say taking care of yourself and taking the pause. What does that really look like?
I think that it's really the question of self-care. Anytime we're in stressful transitions, whatever it is within a family, it can be caretaking an elderly parent. It can be all different things, not just divorce. I think it's important to remember that you have to give yourself time for self-care. That can include your health. That can include exercise, that can include therapy, that can include doing the things that feed you mm-hmm. and bring you joy, and to not just feel like this is now something where you have to put your life on hold for months at a time for a divorce, but to really understand that you will get through this. The estimate's about 97% of couples end their divorce with an agreement. So it's not whether you're going to have an agreement, it's how you're going to get there. And if you can do self-care and you can remain in a calmer, more contained and rational place, you will navigate that process in a much better way for yourself and your family.
Certainly good advice. When you talk about getting educated, part of that is putting the right people in place that you can trust. What type of people should you seek out? You already had mentioned the therapist, and that, of course, is first step and very important. But what other type of individuals are important to kind of build a team with?
I think it's important to distinguish what you're looking for in a team. And let me just say, I think almost everyone feels they are an expert in divorce. This is not like tax. This is not like physics. This is something where people have opinions and very strong opinions. And part of it is being cautious about taking on family and friends who might be overly protective, who might have had their own experiences that influence. They are not professional experts. So part of my caution is that Greek chorus that wants to tell you every minute what you should do, what your next step should be, and it can often be something that actually exacerbates conflict instead of helping you through it. So I see the team as getting legal input, legal advice, support, but also a key is financial support. If someone doesn't have a financial planner, I urge them to find someone. I give referrals because it's not just a legal process. And so much of what they're going to need to decide is based on future projections and finance and impact of different allocations on the rest of their life. And a financial planner can be invaluable. The same is true with an accountant. There may be tax concerns and calculations. The lawyer is not the end-all be-all on those kinds of issues. So thinking about a cohesive team and a team that can actually communicate and work together to support the individual or couple through the process is absolutely priceless. If they have young children, we also urge not a therapist, but a child specialist as someone who can help parents talk about how to discuss this sensitive issue with their children and how to navigate through this for the sake of their family and an eye on what's best for their children. So a child and family specialist in a kind of mediation capacity can also be invaluable to a family.
Yeah, I love where you said everybody thinks they're an expert. I hear that all the time. And with social media and support pages on social media, I find that to be really overwhelming for a lot of people in this scenario as well. And we all do have our own experiences. And we know people who have gone through the process, and some have been very positive. Of course, we hear more about the negative experiences, and those tend to be the people who want to share their advice. And so I appreciate the information around putting the right team in place. And that is really important. And making sure that you have somebody who is looking out for your best interest that can, you know, I work very closely with so many attorneys through this process. And the attorney is focusing on getting through the divorce with the least amount of conflict and fair or comfortable for each party involved. And where I think the financial expert and the planner can come into play is to help the individual understand what does it look like after the divorce? What does it look like from a cash flow perspective or from an investment perspective, thinking about retirement as an individual instead of as a couple? And all of those kind of things can really help people feel more confident when they have to make some of the decisions surrounding separating the marriage.
And let me acknowledge that I understand there are many people who are very hesitant to reach out to a lawyer and who see lawyers as professionals who can actually exacerbate conflict and at a time when the individual just wants to get through this. And I think it is really key to know that legal education and legal advice can be absolutely essential in a divorce, but it still needs to be something where the individual feels comfortable with the path and the process. It does not have to be hire a lawyer and now engage in court disputes or legal disputes. A lawyer's goal is to be an advocate. And when you have an individual lawyer, they're advocating for the best outcome. That's not always the same as the individual would want for their children and their family or their future. And so I really caution people that legal advice is helpful, but lawyers can be consultants. Lawyers can be a helpful resource. They do not have to be a weapon in a divorce war.
Well, I think that is one of the reasons I love working with you with clients. I think you've been a pioneer in using a mediation approach and making sure that it doesn't have to get ugly. It doesn't have to get mean. Of course, we can't always avoid that, but I respect so much of your approach to not escalating conflict and helping people through that process. And so let's take a short break. And when we get back, what I'd really like you to spend some time talking about are the differences between types of divorce. We've been talking about divorce. There's collaboration. There's mediation. Some people want to do it themselves. There's all different ways to get through a divorce. And I think it's really important for people to understand the pros and cons of each approach. So we'll take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll start right there. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And my guest today is Susan Hansen. She is a collaborative lawyer and a mediator with Hansen and Hildebrand. She's also the co-founder of the Family Mediation Center. So she is an expert in divorce. And right before the break, we started to talk about the different types of divorce. There's not one way to get to the end result. There's lots of different ways. And it really depends on sort of the temperature of what you're hoping to accomplish and how that divorce process is going to go for you. So, Susan, spend a little time talking about the different types of divorce.
Thank you. Welcome the opportunity to provide some public education. Not with any meter running as a lawyer, but just to help people make better informed decisions. I think it's key for anyone considering divorce to understand their options. My sense is that many people have no clue what the alternative ways are to navigate a divorce, and they can see it as just either do it yourself or hire a lawyer and hope for the best. And in fact, there's very different process options on how to navigate the legal process of divorce. And just to kind of go through them potentially from least to most lawyer involvement to give people a foundation, one thing I note is that lawyers offer different types of services, and not all lawyers offer all of the options that exist. So I urge people to talk to at least a couple different people, do some research, understand your choices at the outset, because your choice of a process and then the professionals to help you navigate the process are going to impact you for a lifetime. They are also going to absolutely influence the type of divorce, the level of conflict, and the level of cost. So doing this education at the outset can really give you a much better foundation to move forward. So the first option is do it yourself. I call it the kitchen table divorce. And you get some forms, and they have check boxes, and you and your spouse sit at the table, and you fill them out. That is the most popular right now, as some of the concerns exist around, do I have to hire a lawyer? My concern with it, and I know I'm biased as a lawyer, but I do have concerns about do-it-yourself because people don't know what they don't know. They don't understand some of the legal impact. They don't understand financial impact. They say, let's just each keep our retirement, and one has a small IRA and one has a big pension. And they don't really understand what that outcome is going to mean for them as they move forward. Likewise, if they have children, they're setting a foundation. They are going to be connected for a lifetime. And what they do before and during their divorce will have a profound impact on their family. And so my urging is to get some professional input and support so that you do it right from the outset and you don't have conflict later. We see now it's over 60% is the estimate for do-it-yourself, but also what's rising is the returns to court after divorce. So what has happened with a lot of the do-it-yourself is they get it done, but they didn't understand, and those mistakes come back, and those regrets are corrosive, and they end up in court in the future after the divorce. So I do have concerns about the do-it-yourself, though it's certainly the least expensive option at the outset.
I do see when clients share with me that they want to do it themselves, it's often highly emotional. I hear a lot of people say things like, I just want to get this done with. I just want to be over. I don't care what I walk away with. I just want it over. And I think that when we make decisions around emotions, the outcome is usually not in our best interest. I'm saying this all the time now as a financial advisor because, of course, the markets are volatile and there's a lot of things going on in the headlines. And we encourage our clients just to not make decisions based on emotion because it doesn't end well. And I see that a lot with the do-it-yourselfer divorces. They think it's real easy or they think they don't care. I don't care. They can keep the pension. I just want to get out of this situation. And so I think when there is a lot of emotion, it's really important to go back to what you said in the first segment and get educated, take a pause, get yourself the right team in place, and try not to make those decisions based solely on emotions.
Yeah, I find one of the most damaging thing for families is that sense of regret, that sense that I made a decision that I didn't really understand, or I just wanted to get it over with, and I thought I didn't care, and now a year or two after the divorce, there's conflict, there's issues, there's regrets, and in some instances, there's returns to court. And if there are children, those children are in the middle of all of that conflict, and so much better and healthier if you can deal with it and really get fully educated and make good decisions at the outset. One way to do that without the escalation of conflict and cost is mediation. So another alternative way to navigate divorce is mediation. And mediation is basically the couple jointly retaining one neutral lawyer to be a guide and an educator and a drafter of documents from beginning to end in the process. The concept of neutral lawyer is hard for some people to understand, including some lawyers to understand, but it does mean that as a mediator, I would not represent either party. I don't represent them jointly. I am truly an out-of-court guide through the process. But I bring with me my experience and expertise as a divorce lawyer, and I can share that so that they can make well-informed decisions, understand the impact of what they're weighing, and potentially create an outcome for themselves that is really livable and acceptable to both of them. I tend not to use the word fair. It's a very subjective word for couples in divorce. But I do think they can create something that works for themselves and their family. So one lawyer, clearly less expensive. It's an out-of-court approach. The mediator does not go into court, is not an advocate for either side. But that mediator's goal is to really help them make the best decisions and well-informed decisions, understanding both the legal, financial, and family implications.
Yeah, as a financial advisor, I tend to work with a lot of people as they go through mediation because they want to understand better those decisions that they're making as it relates to separating assets and things. So I think mediation is a wonderful place to start. Many times people will say, you know, things are very amicable, we're just going to do it ourselves. And my response to that is, if it is truly so amicable and you really want to get through the process with each of your best interest in mind, then go the mediation route, because it's giving another tool, another person that can help you guys go through the process. So mediation is a great alternative. Talk a little bit about the mediation center, because I know that that is a really great tool in our community for people to get information and to rely on.
So we created, through our law firm, Hansen and Hildebrand, an alternative option called the Family Mediation Center. And our goal with the Family Mediation Center is to provide education and information for the public, to help kind of spread awareness of this option of mediation as an alternative to a two-lawyer court process. We provide no-charge initial calls. We do the initial meeting with the couple for $250 for 2 hours. So we've tried to keep it both affordable and accessible, but we also do trainings and programs and have a website with multiple blogs and videos to just help individuals really understand what mediation is and to weigh whether it's a fit for them. So Family Mediation Center is really designed to be making mediation accessible and at a cost that is affordable to virtually all couples.
So for our listeners, where can they get more information about the Mediation Center?
I think the starting point that's easy for most people in terms of not having to have a personal conversation yet is our website. So the website is www.familymediationcenter.org. So it's familymediationcenter.org. We are about to launch a new website before the end of the year, but it will have a lot of, it does currently have and will have a lot of information available. And then if someone wants to pursue or ask questions, we have a panel of lawyer mediators that are available for a no-charge phone consultation to really help individuals or couples, if it's a conference call, weigh the alternative of whether mediation might be a process that's workable for them and their family.
Well, it sounds wonderful. Mediation sounds like a wonderful approach. And of course, it's not an approach for everybody. So what's next?
So the next one is collaborative divorce. And collaborative divorce is, again, a focus on settlement and resolution. It's an out-of-court negotiation process. The specific process, it doesn't just mean you're being cooperative. It is a defined process where each spouse would hire a lawyer. And if we envision mediation, there are three people at the table, the mediator and the spouses. With collaborative, there are four people at the table because each spouse has their own lawyer. So they hire a lawyer. That lawyer is their advisor and advocate in the process, but all four commit to an out-of-court settlement approach. And the teeth in that is that if someone decides, no, I want the court fight, and I want to turn to the judge and have a trial in court, those collaborative lawyers are off the case. So the goal of collaboration is to encourage open communication, honest and transparent negotiation, and reaching an agreement in a mutual four-way process. If someone wants to move ahead, then they hire litigation lawyers. It's rather like the idea of an in-house lawyer, where each spouse has their own in-house consultant and lawyer in the negotiation. But if they choose to have the court dispute, then they retain litigation counsel.
And not all attorneys do collaborative divorce, correct?
That's correct. A smaller number of lawyers do mediation and collaborative divorce. I think there is, frankly, both a comfort level and perhaps a cost consideration that traditional representation is more common for most lawyers, but we are seeing a significant growth in mediation and collaborative, especially as people have concerns about the cost and conflict of a traditional litigation process.
So as you're looking at interviewing lawyers, and it goes back again to our first segment where you had encouraged people not to jump right in and try and find the lawyer, but to really take a step back and educate themselves, it's all of the things that you shared in terms of building the team and getting education and taking care of yourself and seeking some therapy as well. But it also includes really understanding the different types of divorce and talking to different attorneys who have different approaches. As with anything, I think we all encourage people to work with somebody they're comfortable with, you know, that passes that gut check. But the gut check really isn't enough, because you also have to make sure that they're willing and able and skilled to go through the type of divorce that you hope to process.
Absolutely true. I think in divorce, it is imperative not just to find out who a neighbor or online ads or whatever else draws you to make a phone call to a law firm, but you need to know what are the services offered. Because it's not just one size fits all, and it's important for any individual to know and understand those choices before they retain any professional. And so, yes, knowing do-it-yourself, mediation, collaborative divorce, plus a traditional approach is essential. And I think that means asking the lawyer about what is the type of service they offer, what's the proportion of cases within their firm in those different areas, so that you have someone who has experience and expertise. But we're back to also, as you've said, that gut check. It also is simply, who do you feel you can trust? Who can you openly communicate with? Is there a comfort level for you in navigating this highly emotional life transition that you have selected someone that is really going to be your partner through the process?
So with collaboration, it sounds like you sort of have to be somewhat on the same page right in the beginning, because you don't want to go through that process and then find out that the collaborative divorce isn't their best path for you. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, do-it-yourself, mediation, and collaboration. You just mentioned a traditional divorce process. When does that make sense?
In my view, almost never. I think there are times with safety issues and restraining orders and need for court protections. But overall, I think that most people end up with an agreement anyway, and they end up upset with their spouse, upset with their lawyer or their spouse's lawyer. I think traditional litigation is a process that does not work well for families. I think it was designed for an adversarial process of lawsuits or criminal defense and prosecution. And it simply doesn't fit well for most couples or families. And even though there's pain and anger that can come with decisions to divorce, I think most people have also had years of positives and love and caring and concern in their family. And they're going to look in the mirror and have a greater sense of integrity and future peace if they're able to navigate with some dignity and a focus on making good decisions, not using the court for revenge or aggression. I think that whole piece with lawyers and litigation is actually not well suited for families.
Okay, very interesting. Thank you. This has been very helpful information on the types of divorce. We can take a short break, and when we get back, we can talk a little bit about some of the trends that you're seeing and some of the statistics around divorce, and fill in our listeners on some interesting facts. So with that, we will be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of the Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group has three locations. We're in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park. We have an office in the village of Whitefish Bay, as well as Bonita Springs, Florida. You can check out our webpage at ellenbecker.com. And all of our podcasts and radio shows are hosted there as well. So if there's someone else you think might like the information we're sharing today, feel free to check out our webpage and share this recording. As well, you can learn a lot about our services here and how we work with many different individuals to provide whole life and financial planning in all different areas. So my guest today is Susan Hansen. We've worked together with many clients in the past, and Susan is a collaborative lawyer and mediator with Hansen and Hildebrand Law Firm. She also is the co-founder of the Family Mediation Center. So we have an expert in the house here today talking all about divorce, but coming from a place of care and concern for people going through this process. And so this is really an opportunity for Susan to educate our listeners, and I learn something every time we sit together. So thank you for all the information you've shared so far, Susan. And I want to move into some of the trends that you're seeing. You know, we hear all the time these obscure numbers, you know, 50% of marriages end in divorce, or many people, what percentage of people can do it themselves? And now we've had you write in our newsletter in the past. We've talked quite a bit about the trend of gray divorces. What does that look like? And so maybe you can take a few minutes just to share some of the things you're seeing personally, some of the trends that you're recognizing and reading about, and maybe provide some color to what's really going on out there in the world of divorce.
Yeah, I would say that what I see and what the statistics that I read, for whatever statistics sometimes are worth, but would say that divorce rates have gone down. They are actually below 50%. The parallel to that is that marriage rates have gone down. So we are seeing somewhat fewer divorces, but we're also seeing a significant drop in marriage rates. We're seeing more cohabitation. We're seeing even people who are having children but choosing to not get married. And so that's been an interesting trend. We're also seeing young people more open to doing prenuptial agreements. So we're seeing an increase in prenups, a greater willingness to have frank financial conversations before marriage. I truly support at least considering a prenup for every couple because it does compel conversations. Do you have similar goals? Do you really have similar understanding? How are you going to handle major financial decisions? That can often be a point of conflict, and the more you discuss and lay those things out ahead of time, the stronger, to me, the foundation for your marriage. I once said to someone who said that they could not imagine even bringing up or talking about a prenup because that would mean you were assuming you were going to divorce. And I said, if you're unable to talk about a prenuptial agreement or financial terms before you marry, I'm afraid you're going to be seeing me later. So I fully support the concept and the growth in prenups. And I think younger people are far more open than middle age and older.
Well, it's interesting because many times when I'll mention a prenup, especially to younger generations getting married, they say, well, we don't have anything. And in some cases, that's true. And I still will say, well, let's not call it prenup. Let's call it premarital planning. Because even if you don't have assets or you don't think you have assets, there's so much to discuss in terms of premarital planning and how those finances are going to be handled and how the beneficiaries are going to be listed on certain items and what happens if one person inherits money down the road. How is that going to be handled? What goals do you have for your children from a financial perspective? Do you want to pay for college? Do you want to pay for private education, pre-college? There's so many conversations that need to be had prior to actually getting married. And I think sometimes people don't have those because they just don't think they have money.
I think that's true. And my lens is, of course, as a divorce lawyer and mediator, is the concept of a prenup for divorce. But it's also something that's useful and I think very important as a foundation for estate planning. So you mentioned beneficiaries. People don't think about that, and yet they have retirement plans or they have bank accounts. They purchase a home. And it's really, to me, essential to just make informed decisions, to consider it, and then decide how you're going to move forward, but to do that jointly so there aren't things that are divisive later.
Well, the foundation of a good marriage, they say, is communication. So if you can start the communication process early, I feel like we could do a whole show on premarital planning as well as, would we call it postmarital planning? So, but no, I do think that communication is really important. And we see that oftentimes when we're helping people navigate a divorce where communication hasn't run smoothly in the marriage, and it makes it much harder to get through the divorce process as well.
You mentioned postmarital planning. There is an option for a postnuptial agreement. We have seen some increase in that where someone inherits, someone has financial issues, there's concerns around finances, maybe even some conflict around finances, but the couple does not want to divorce. So they do sit down and have that option of creating a postnuptial agreement. There are different approaches to that, but it again can impact their financial planning after they've married.
Right. Good. All right. What other trends are you seeing out there today?
Well, the one you mentioned was gray divorce. As someone who is, I'll use the word senior lawyer, I am still surprised by the number of people in their 60s and 70s who are pursuing divorce. That has been a trend that started quite some time ago, and it's continued. And you can Google, there are articles about it. It is certainly has all the similar issues of divorce and finances and property allocation and income disparity and spousal support. But there are unique concerns for couples who are, we think of it as over 50, but I think of it as kind of 60s and 70s. And there are unique concerns legally, financially. They may not have minor children, but they may have children and grandchildren. So they may still have some family concerns and restructuring. How do they want their family and family events to look post-divorce? But the financial piece, I think, makes it imperative to have financial planner involved to really look at the impact of various allocations of assets, debts, and income on their financial future. The goal is more financial security. It's looking at the concerns of health insurance and social security and retirement planning. So it's a very different set of not so much legal issues, but definitely financial issues for older couples.
There's still complexity there, and I think sometimes people think the complexity really comes with guardianship issues and having minor children. I hear oftentimes people say, well, we don't have any children. It's going to be a much easier process, and that's not always the case, especially with what you're seeing with our senior population moving through divorce.
There's no question that for seniors, the issues around keeping or not keeping the family home, the issues around retirement planning, cash flow, ability to meet living expenses, just quality of life and lifestyle. There's definitely a different financial complexity in the sense that there is a potential finite end to some of the income streams and a changing of sources of cash flow. And those kinds of projections are best done by a financial professional.
Good. So before we take our next break, Susan, is there anything else you're seeing kind of trending in the area of divorce right now?
I would say, perhaps in my somewhat narrow self-interest view of divorce lawyer, that the biggest trend I see is the decline in hiring lawyers. And I see that as something that I thought had peaked some years ago, and it just continues to grow. And so my hope in doing this type of program or anything I can do to educate the public is really to share the idea of considering mediation, consulting with financial planners, consulting with a lawyer, and it can be done jointly. You can still have an amicable divorce. You can still have someone at the table with you, not just you and your spouse hoping to wing it and do it the best, but get that education so you make good decisions. So the trend of not hiring the dueling lawyers, I fully acknowledge and understand, but there are alternatives of joint consultation or a collaborative sit down together with lawyers and really choosing an approach where you're not going to do harm to yourself, your family, and your finances.
It's not an all or nothing approach. I like that. And I appreciate so much what you're doing through Hanson and Hildebrand and through the Family Mediation Center to really try and change the perception of the industry as a whole. And that's very valuable. I'm sure it can be discomforting knowing that you're seeing that trend. And so doing something about it and creating those alternatives is really great. So let's take a little break, and then we'll finish up the show just talking about kind of what are the next steps and how's the best way to build your team and where do you start. And so we'll take a quick break and we'll return shortly. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And my guest today is attorney Susan Hanson, and we have been talking about divorce. Susan is a collaborative lawyer and a mediator with Hanson and Hildebrand, and also the co-founder of the Family Mediation Center. So we are just going to wrap up our show today. This has been very helpful and informative, and I do feel like we could talk a lot longer. But I'd like to just kind of wrap up with, we did set the stage for the different types of divorce, kind of how to take care of yourself in the beginning. I think it's really important for people to understand what type of team you need to have when you begin this process, and where do you start? How do you find the right people?
I think for some couples, they already have some potential team members in place. And one of the things that I have been excited to realize and learn and implement is the value of teamwork with a couple's financial planner. I think in the past, we just saw those as outside the legal process individuals, and often one or both would go to a different financial planner because there was conflict and we'd advise them to pick their own. I really see now that the joint financial planner can be an amazing resource through a divorce process. And most of the couples I work with in mediation actually continue with that financial planner because they've had years of building trust and confidence in that individual. So looking at that person as a team member has been a shift of perspective for me as a lawyer, and I think very valuable not only for me but for the couples I serve. The same is true with accountants and other planners they may have in place. So for me, the teamwork concept has grown exponentially with collaborative divorce and mediation, and that can be the financial input and having that expertise. It also can be bringing in, as I mentioned, a child or family specialist, a mental health professional who is trained in family systems and has expertise in restructuring families and helping them make decisions for their children. They are also trained mediators, and so they are, the child specialist to me is a priceless addition for any couple who has children to really be certain they do what I know they aspire to do, which is protect the interests of their children and shield them from any conflict as much as possible. So that teamwork piece has been really essential. Some individuals, not everyone going through divorce, may need a therapist, but for many, that therapist as an outside private resource to communicate openly outside of the divorce process can also be a great support. So I think I've learned that divorce is not just a legal process. Lawyers tend to see it as a legal process and to navigate it that way. I really see it as a complete restructuring for the family and the finances. And I'll be frank, I don't do my own financial planning or my own taxes. And so I think in divorce, it's essential to realize the value of teamwork and bringing the best professionals for the best fit to help those couples make the best possible decisions for their family.
Well, I know we have appreciated the education that you've shared with our advisors here. And many times we ask our clients to really understand what their goals are and share that with their financial planner so that they can work very closely with their divorce attorney or mediator to help them navigate that transition, because the financial piece is sometimes the scariest piece of the whole puzzle. And if you're a member of a marriage where maybe the finances hasn't been in your wheelhouse, there's a lot of education that has to be done. And so we appreciate the education that you share with us as a wealth management team, and we love to have the opportunity to share that with our clients as well. So this has been wonderful. It's so good to learn more from you and to share with the public this approach from an education standpoint. So with that, Sue, I would just like to thank you again for joining us on Money Sense today and sharing all of this wonderful information. And if you have enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about Ellenbecker Investment Group and our upcoming events, please visit ellenbecker.com or give us a call at 262-691-3200. Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. in the afternoon and on Sundays from noon to 1. As always, I hope that I have made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. And remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a great day.